Good evening, one and all. We're very pleased to see each and every one here tonight. And I'm just so thankful that we still have opportunity to present the way of salvation. You know, this speaks to the heart of God, how His desire is to extend the day of grace until this day, because there might be somebody in this hall who is still in their sins. You're without Christ. You're on the broad road. You're on your way to a lost eternity. Tonight you have opportunity to turn to Christ. So important. And what I have on my heart tonight is the subject of now. N-O-W. And our brother last night very plainly spoke of the urgency of the message. I suppose most were here last night to hear the gospel. Perhaps all were here. We didn't know last night if we were going to have a gospel meeting here tonight. But you know, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And here we are tonight, 24 hours later, and we are able to present an invitation to you from the heart of God Himself, a warm invitation to come and to receive that blessed and only Savior. His name is Jesus. He's the only Savior, and He's the best friend. And we want everybody to know Him and to enjoy peace through believing. You know, on the way to this meeting today, it's about a 40-45 minute drive. So I went through the hymn sheet and I circled every N-O-W. And I come up with 26 nows in this hymn sheet. It's important. This little word now. I'm going to ask that we sing a hymn. It has the word now in it. I believe four times, unless I miscounted. Let's sing number 10. Number 10. There is a Savior on high in the glory. Number 10.
There is a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior as willing to save now as ever.
God and our Father, we thank Thee tonight for that dear, loving Savior, Thine own Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that there on the cross of Calvary, He was willing to suffer the just for the unjust, to be forsaken of God. And there He was, bearing the punishment alone during those dark hours. We thank Thee for Thy love, Lord Jesus, that held Thee to the cross. We thank Thee that we were on Thy mind as Thou didst suffer there. And we thank Thee for each one here today who has the assurance of eternal salvation through coming to Jesus. We do earnestly pray that if there's one here still in their sins, that they might realize the peril that they are in, the deep trouble that they are in, and how that time is short. As we often sing, time is gliding swiftly by. Death and judgment both draw nigh. Impress this on any who are still outside of Christ, that this might be the night of decision. They would decide for Christ. We pray for Thy word, not only in this hall, but where it's going out worldwide. We thank Thee that whosoever will may come. So we commit the meeting to Thee. Thank Thee for each one present. Thank Thee for Thy love for each one. And we ask for Thy direction and help. In Thy worthy and most precious name, Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, our brother last night referred to 2 Corinthians, and I'd like to revisit this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see that little word, it's repeated two times. And there's another word that's repeated two times. It's the word behold. What does it mean, behold? It means to pay careful attention to what we're talking about. Behold. And what is God telling us here? That tonight is the day of salvation. Tonight you have opportunity to be saved. Because none of us know, as our brother pointed out last night, what a day is going to bring forth. I didn't know if I'd be standing up here today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I was at the post office the other day, and Merrill came up to me. He's a man, he lives in Lambert Lake. He said, "Do you hear about Danny?" "No, what about him?" "He died last night. He went to bed, he never woke up. He's dead." I said, "Really?" He lived right next door. We had a little mission hall in Lambert Lake. And he lived next door. And you know, Danny, he had an opportunity to hear the gospel. Tonight, Danny is in eternity. I don't know if he accepted Christ. The Lord knows them that are His. But it was so sobering to think that you can go to sleep and not wake up because your heart stops beating. You say, "Well, I don't think that ever happened to me." We don't know what's going to happen from day to day. We had a young girl Her name is Lucy Morgan. Now, last June, she and her family, they were visiting from New Jersey on vacation. And actually, her father was a pastor. So they were at the lake, and the father and the mother, they were down by the lake. And there was a badminton game taking place in front of the house. And Lucy, she went and she sat on the sidelines to watch the game. So you know what badminton is. There's this little funnel cock that it's got a rubber nose on it and feathers sometimes coming out. And then you've got those rackets, you know. It's kind of like a tennis racket. How many have played badminton here? Oh, okay, so, yeah, you girls and boys. So anyway, this is a freak accident. But, you know, it's no freak accidents with God. God allowed this to happen. And when I heard about it, it seemed to me unbelievable. But one of the players came down with the racket like that on the shuttlecock. And it was a powerful downstroke. And you know, this metal rod came right out of the handle. And what happened? The rod went right into Lucy's head. It pierced her skull. Well, they rushed her to the hospital. And the way I understand it, she did survive for 2 or 3 days, but then she died. But I'm going to tell you something. More than she died, she went to be with Jesus. Because her father had said that it wasn't that long before she asked the Lord to forgive her. And when they went back to New Jersey, they opened up her little backpack there. She had a little prayer log in there. And there were some very nice things said about Jesus and about God. So they knew that Lucy was prepared to leave this world. They didn't expect it to happen. And you know, the parents are very sad. But they know that Lucy could not be happier because she's with Jesus, the one who she had come to know as her Savior. I just mention this because the question is, are you saved? How many here today, tonight, know that they're saved and they're on their way to heaven? And if you were sitting on the sideline in Lucy's position, and that went into your head, and you died, where would you be? Where would you be? There's a tract out, you know, if I die tonight, where will I spend eternity? It's such an important question. So here we find that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We don't know what a day will bring forth. We got a man, his name is George Cook. You know, George, he's 95 years old. And he run quite a successful business in McAdam. It's about 6 miles to the east across the border. Hardware, and now you got groceries, and he's got a gift shop there, and he's been very successful down through the years. His name is George Cook, and he still helps out at the business at that age, 95 years old. Well, it wasn't that long ago. We went into this little cafe, and there was George. He was sitting there with his wife in a booth. And there was another man and his wife, and that was George's brother-in-law and sister-in-law. And they were sitting there too. So I know George, and I went up to the booth, you know, and we got talking. And then the sister-in-law here, she says, "Hey, I want you to do something." I said, "Okay, what do you want me to do?" "Ask him," and she pointed to George, "ask him what happened to his hair." Because George, you don't have much hair up here. It's what we call, he was bald. I mean, he had some hair around here, okay? So I don't know how he lost his hair. But I said, "I'll ask him." I said, "George, she wants to know how you lost your hair." I'm not trying to be funny. You know what he said? "Hair today, gone tomorrow." And that's kind of humorous, but you know, there's a serious side to that. Because the fact is, what about you? You are here in this meeting tonight, but you could be gone tomorrow. You could pass into eternity tonight. And that's why we want to impress on you, boys and girls, older ones, now is your opportunity. Don't pass it up to be saved. Come to Jesus. What do we sing? We sang in this hymn over and over. Come now to Jesus, that dear loving Savior. Receive him, not at the end of the gospel meeting. It says here, receive him this moment. You know, there's a little children's hymn. It goes, T-R-U-S-T, in him while you now are singing. Trust in him while you now are singing. Trust in him while you're sitting on your seat. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus, your confidence in him. Believe that he died for you on the cross of Calvary. You know, it's not a big issue as far as getting saved. And many people say, it's too simple. I can't accept this idea that all I got to do is believe. Well, but that's what the Bible says. And you know, in the Philippian jailer, it tells us when there was that tremendous earthquake in the prison, I believe there was an earthquake in his soul. And he was so overwhelmed, but he was trembling. And he sprang in where Paul and Silas were. And he asked a question. Because those circumstances, I do believe, brought him into the presence of God. And he wanted to be right with God. There's nobody that can have peace, can be happy, apart from being right with God. And so he falls down at the feet of Paul and Silas. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And without hesitation, Paul and Silas, I like to think they said it in harmony. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And we know that the jailer, he did believe. So salvation, it's not by works, it's by faith. But don't put it off. Tomorrow may be too late. Now, I know somebody, and you know, she went to, I believe it was the Baptist church, and she sat under the sound of the gospel, and she was convicted of her need of salvation. But she said to herself, well, I'm going to wait a week. I'll do it next week. Next week rolled around. Again, she sat under the sound of the Word of God. The gospel was preached. She said, I need to come to Christ, but I think I'll do it next week. And so now she puts it off another week. The next week rolled around, and the same thing. She heard the preaching, but she said, I'll put it off one more week. You know, the next week rolled around, and she could not go to the gospel meeting. She had to babysit her brother. She stayed home. Well, that night, her father and mother, I don't understand, they were at the service, you know, and they actually got saved. They came to Christ. But this girl, she had put it off, and put it off, put it off. Finally, she said, I'm not putting it off anymore. She went out into the woods, kneeled down, and asked the Lord Jesus to save her soul. And she got saved. You might be interested to know that she is the one who I've been sitting next to during these meetings. So she did accept Christ. But you know, we shouldn't procrastinate. You know what procrastinate means? Procrastinate means to, instead of doing what we know we should do right now, we say we're going to do it in the future. Put it off. Now, procrastination is a very dangerous situation to be in. And you know, we have an enemy of our souls. His name is Satan. And Satan does not want you to be saved. He wants you to be where he is destined for, and that is the lake of fire. We understand that the lake of fire, it was made for the devil and his angels. The devil knows where he's going, but he wants to take as many as possible with him. And one of his most successful tools is procrastination. And it's been said that procrastination is on the road to never. Never. How many there have been that have put off this most important matter of salvation? Too late, too late. And they're in eternity. And there's no second chance. No opportunity for salvation once you depart this life. I'd like to turn to another now. This is over in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You know, before we, can you hold your place right here at Ecclesiastes 12 and turn over to Acts 24:24. Now, this is easy reference to remember. Acts 24:24. Now here's one who procrastinated. Let me read this. It says here in verse 24, Acts 24:24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Felix heard the message of the gospel. Paul spoke very plain about his need of salvation. He spoke about righteousness. I suppose he spoke of how that this man Felix, he was not righteous. Maybe he spoke about what Isaiah tells us. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And then he spoke about temperance. You know, temperance perhaps is self-control. Perhaps this man Felix, you know, he went to extremes in order to satisfy or indulge his fleshly interests, fleshly appetite. And as he's listening to Paul, he starts to shake. And then Paul told him about judgment to come. You know what Felix said? "Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." That is this Satan's ploy. Not today, later, at a more convenient time. Dear ones, I want to tell you tonight. When is a more convenient time to get saved and know with assurance that you're going to be with Jesus when you leave this world, as opposed to being found in the lake of fire? It doesn't even make sense to talk about a convenient time when these issues are at stake, heaven and hell. It's something you need to settle tonight. Felix, he had his eye on the dollar sign. I don't know if they had dollars there, but he was thinking about money. He was thinking about what others would think if he accepted Paul's message, public opinion. That's what influences people today, money and public opinion. And they're impacted by that to the eternal detriment of their soul. We never read that Felix came to Christ. Now, coming over here to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Here we have another now. N-O-W. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, "I have no pleasure in them." The evil days, they come when people, they say, "I have no pleasure in life." You've met people like that. I remember a man up in northern Maine, and He and his wife, they had both turned 70. Now they're on the other side of 70, in their 70s. And he said to me, there's supposed to be a golden side to 70? Are you kidding me? Basically, this sucks. Getting old, and he was miserable. Such an unhappy man. I was able to present Christ to him. But you know, then we find there are those who have come to Jesus. They've remembered their Creator, and that's Jesus. When they're just very young, perhaps the same age as you boys or you girls. And you know, they've lived a long life, and they've lived it with the Lord and with His Word. And they've become better acquainted with their Savior. And they are so happy, and it seems like the older they get, the happier they get. Because they know that they're on their way to glory. They're on their way to be with Jesus. And that's a happy thing. The Apostle Paul, he said, to depart to be with Christ is far better. Far better. Not just better, but it's far better. You know, the Apostle Paul, he really looked forward to departing this world to be with the Lord Jesus. And I know in this hall, there are those who are of the same persuasion. You're looking forward to it. Well, come to Jesus while you're young. Remember now your Creator. Because if you reject Christ now, the older you get, the harder it is to come to Him. You don't find too many elderly people coming to Christ, getting saved. Most of the conversions take place among children and young people, because you want to get saved before the evil days come, when you say, I don't have any pleasure in these days anymore. But you don't have any future, nothing to look forward to. Now, there's another now. Let's look in Isaiah. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 1. Many here will know where we're going here with this, but Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, this is the Lord speaking. Come now. This is Isaiah 1, 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord is saying, come. Not tomorrow, not next week, not a year from now. Come now. He wants to reason with you. And you know, people today, they're unreasonable. Because what God has to offer is a full and free salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He offers to you forgiveness of sins. He offers to you justification, to be just as if I hadn't sinned, declared righteous before God. He offers a relationship. He wants to bring you into His family so that you can enjoy a relationship with Him as your Father. And He is the best Father. He's a wonderful Father. Now, I know you have fathers here in this room, and they're good fathers. But you know, God the Father, what a loving, tender, compassionate Father God is. A relationship. And the Lord Jesus wants a relationship. He wants to make you part of His bride. He has so much to offer. But you got sins. And you know, God cannot tolerate sin. God is holy. 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 And yet we find that God, because He wants you and me to be with Himself, He wants to enjoy your company. He wants you to enjoy his company. And he's made it possible that this separation can be eternally removed. And it's through the precious blood of Christ that was shed at the cross of Calvary. And, you know, scarlet, I understand, is a dye that cannot be removed from clothes. Now, there are some dyes that, through a process, you can remove the dye and make the cloth white, but not scarlet, not crimson. But here it tells us, though your sins be as scarlet, they be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What is impossible for man is possible with God. It's impossible for a man to save himself. It's impossible for a man to get right with God, to find peace with God on his own, to make his own peace with God. It's impossible. But you know, the Lord Jesus, he has made peace through the blood of his cross. And it's wonderful to have peace with God. There was a man on a plane as we come here, and I was sitting beside him. So I said, now, is Denver your destination? Well, he said, yeah, we're flying to Denver, but I plan to go to Colorado Springs. And then I said, would you let me ask you a question? His name is Mike. Yes? Mike, is your final destination heaven? Oh, he said, yeah, yeah. Well, it sounded good. And then I said, Mike, how can you be so sure? What do you base your assurance that you're going to be in heaven? He thought, well, you know, the way I treat people. I thought to myself, I'm sorry, I don't think this man is on the right track. There's millions in the world of the same mindset. They think that heaven depends on their performance. Dear ones, tonight, I want to tell you something. If you're my entrance into heaven depends on our performance, none of us are going to be there. But I am here to tell you tonight from the bottom of my heart, it rejoices my heart to tell you this. I'm going to be in heaven because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. He came here into this world. He went to the cross. He gave his life a ransom for many. He bore the punishment for my sin during those dark hours. We heard about that this morning. What a Savior Jesus is. A soldier with a spear pierced his side. Forthwith came out blood and water. This soldier did that because he hated Jesus. But the first thing that came out was blood. And you know, it's the blood that cleanses us from all sin. It's the blood that is the remedy for sin so that we can enjoy God's holy presence for all eternity. So where sin is, how does Paul put that? Let me read it. Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It's the grace of God. There's no sweeter sound. And we sing about it, you know? Grace is the sweetest sound that ever reached our ears. When conscience charged and justice frowned, grace relieves the fears. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. It's unmerited favor. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I'm not telling you something new here tonight. I don't believe. But I believe, I trust the Lord has given me this burden tonight, that this little word now might resonate in your heart, in your ear, in your mind. I see our time is, I'm going by this clock here, I guess. Got a couple extra minutes. All right. Job. And our brother referred to this last night. It's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful verses, I think, in the Old Testament, really. Job 22 and verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. To get acquainted is to get to know. And it's been a privilege to be at this conference. I've met new people. It's encouragement to my heart to meet others of like precious faith. And I like to get to know you better. But I want to tell you something. We're going to part ways. And you go to your house, I go to mine. We may cross paths again down here. I may not have the opportunity to get to know you better. But the Lord Jesus, oh, what a wonderful Savior and friend he is. He wants us to get acquainted with him. And we can do that by reading this book. And we could get to know him. You know, it says in a little song, cling to the Bible, my girl, my boy. For Jesus the Lord by his word is brought near. So cling to the Bible, my girl, my boy. Older one, read the Bible. Get acquainted with your Savior. And the more you know him, the more you're going to love him, because he's so wonderful. And as it tells us in this verse, be at peace, and good shall come unto thee. Get acquainted with him. And this book, you know, it's the only book in the world where the author is always present with you when you read the book. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible. Now, one more now, and then I'm going to quit. Acts. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Jesus lives. He's coming back. He's going to reign. And what a reign that will be. But it tells us in this verse, God is commanding you and me to repent. And repent means to turn around and take sides with God against yourself. Acknowledge God is right and I'm wrong. And you know, where there's true repentance, it's going to result in a change in attitude and behavior. True repentance. That's what God is looking for. Well, I see our time is up, so perhaps we could just close in prayer. But don't forget, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Come now to Jesus. Come now and reason together, saith the Lord. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. And God commandeth now. Now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Think about now. You know, we're going to pray. And I see boys and girls here on the front rows. That's beautiful. I see others sitting in other parts of the room. I'm wondering how many of you have heard the gospel over and over and over, but you never asked the Lord Jesus to save you. Remember, here today, gone tomorrow, could be you. You need to get saved if you're still in your sins. Come now to Jesus. Put your trust in Him. As we pray, just ask Him, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask you to save me. And you know He'll save your soul. And you can go out of this hall happy, knowing that your sins are gone. You're on your way to heaven. You're going to be with Jesus when the time comes. And you can enjoy Him now by faith. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank Thee tonight that we have opportunity to present the way of salvation to boys and girls and older ones in this hall. We thank Thee, our God, that Thou hast, in love to our souls, sent Thine own dear Son to be the Savior. We thank Thee that in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Hereby perceive we Thy love, our God, and that Thou hast laid down Thy life for us. We thank Thee to know that Jesus lives. We know He's coming again, and we just look forward to that. But if there's one here in this hall tonight, still in their sins, we pray that they might realize that now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. And so we ask Thy blessing on Thy word here and wherever it's being told out. In Thy worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.